May the Lord help us to commence with hymn 511. In all my troubles and distress, the Lord my soul does own. Jehovah does my griefs redress and make his mercy known. Hymn 511.
Reading this evening is taken from the book of Genesis, chapter 19, the first 30 verses. The first 30 verses of Genesis, chapter 19. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening. And Lot sat in the gate of Sodom. And Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them. And he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. And he said, "Behold, now, my lords, turn in, I pray you, into your servant's house, and tarry all night, and wash your feet, and you shall rise up early and go on your ways. And they said, "Nay, but we will abide in the street all night." And he pressed upon them greatly, and they turned in unto him, and entered into his house. And he made them a feast, and did break unleavened bread, and they did eat. But before they lay down, the men of the city, even the men of Sodom, compassed the house round, both old and young, all the people from every quarter. And they called unto Lot and said unto him, "Where are the men which came into thee this night? Bring them out unto us, that we may know them." And Lot went out at the door unto them and shut the door after him and said, "I pray you, brethren, do not so wickedly. Behold, now I have two daughters which have not known man. Let me, I pray you, bring them out unto you, and do ye to them as is good in your eyes. Only unto these men do nothing. Therefore came they under the shadow of my roof." And they said, "Stand back." And they said again, "This one fellow came in to sojourn, and he will needs be a judge. Now will we deal worse with thee than with them?" And they pressed sore upon the man, even Lot, and came near to break the door. But the men put forth their hand and pulled Lot into the house to them, and shut to the door. And they smote the men that were at the door of the house with blindness, both small and great, so that they wearied themselves to find the door. And the men said unto Lot, "Hast thou here any besides son-in-law and thy sons and thy daughters? And whatsoever thou hast in the city, bring them out of this place. For we will destroy this place, because the cry of them is waxen great before the face of the Lord. And the Lord hath sent us to destroy it." And Lot went out and spake unto his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, "Up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city." But he seemed as one that mocked unto his sons-in-law. When the morning arose, then the angels hastened Lot, saying, "Arise, take thy wife and thy two daughters, which are here, lest thou be consumed in the iniquity of the city." And while he lingered, the men laid hold upon his hand and upon the hand of his wife, and upon the hand of his two daughters, the Lord being merciful unto him. And they brought him forth and set him without the city. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, "Escape for thy life. Look not behindly, neither stay thou in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed." And Lot said unto them, "Oh, not so, my lord. Behold, now thy servant hath found grace in thy sight, and thou hast magnified thy mercy, which thou hast showed unto me, in saving my life, and I cannot escape to the mountain, lest some evil take me, and I die. Behold, now this city is near to flee unto, and is a little one. Oh, let me escape thither. Is it not a little one? And my soul shall live. And he said unto him, See, I have accepted thee concerning this thing also, that I will not overthrow this city for the which thou hast spoken. Haste thee, escape thither, for I cannot do anything till thou become thither. Therefore the name of the city was called Zoar. The sun was risen upon the earth when Lot entered into Zoar. Then the Lord rained Sodom upon Sodom and upon Gomorrah, brimstone and fire from the Lord out of heaven. And he overthrew those cities and all the plain and all the inhabitants of the cities and that which grew upon the ground. But his wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. And Abraham got up early in the morning to the place where he stood before the Lord. And he looked towards Sodom and Gomorrah and toward all the land of the plain, and beheld, and though the smoke of the country went up as the smoke of a furnace. And it came to pass, when God destroyed the cities of the plain, that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow, when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. And Lot went up out of Zoar and dwelt in the mountain, and his two daughters with him. For he feared to dwell in Zoar, and he dwelt in a cave, he and his two daughters. The Lord bless to us the reading of his word, and help us now in prayer. Sovereign and holy Lord God, do solemnize our minds this evening hour as we meet around thy word. And may we be conscious of the holy, holy, holy God, in whose presence we are now in, and whom we now profess to worship. That God who is almighty in anger just as much as he is almighty in love, and we have read of both thy almighty love and thy almighty anger this night. Thy mercy and thy love in delivering Lot, and delaying the judgment until he had come out, and thine anger poured out upon the wicked. Grant, Lord, that we may take heed to thy word. And do make us real believers. And may we cleave after Christ and holiness. thank thee, Lord, for thy mercies this day. The mercies of this one day in seven when we can rest and come apart from the world a while. For thy mercy and thy care, which has brought each of us in safety into thy house. For thy mercy in opening the doors of thy house, in providing thy word for us freely to read. For the mercy of the open door of prayer by which we can approach unto God and present our petitions to thee. We thank thee, Lord, that we can bring anything to thee at any time. Give us, Lord, that faith and that grace so to do. Give us now a worshipping frame. May light shine upon thy word. And may it shine in our hearts, and may it reveal Christ unto us, the hope of glory. Help us, Lord, to thank thee for all thy mercies to us. Our health and strength, our faculties, our loved ones, our homes, our careers, our possessions. The measure of comfort and peace and quietness and safety and stability that we all enjoy. That freedom to meet for worship without persecution. For the love of the Father. For the grace of the Son. And for the communion of the Holy Ghost. Help us, Lord, to worship thee with thanksgiving. With wonder, with love, with amazement at thy mercies to unworthy sinners such as we. We seek, Lord, thy mercy this night. We thank thee for mercies past, but we need mercy present. And mercy yet to come. And so we ask that thou wouldst draw near now and preside over our worship, Lord. Guide us in our meditations of thee. Open our hearts and open our ears and open our eyes to hear, to see, to receive, to understand thy word, to listen to what thou art saying to us. And may, Lord, thy word have a gracious effect in our hearts and lives in time to come. Bless, we pray, this house of prayer. And prosper thy word here. Bless each one who gathers, service by service, and any unable to gather this night. Remember those listening over the internet, and may they be blessed in their own homes as they join with us, although unseen, for worship. And yet seen by thee. We pray, Lord, that thou would suit thy mercy to every case before thee this night. And send none unhealed away. Give the wound where it is needed and give the healing where there is the wound. Bless the deacons of this course, the one present. Do help him in the choice of the hymns that are sung. And the one absent, and we pray especially for him and for his wife in these days. We ask thee, Lord, to draw very near unto them, support them and help them and comfort their hearts. And may they know Christ very near unto them. And do remember this church, each member. Bind them together in union and fellowship, in love, in humility, in love to Christ and in love to each other. May they be an exercised church. May they be a fruitful church. May they be a growing church. Growing in grace and knowledge of thee and all the fruits of the Spirit. May they be a beacon in this area. May they be a witness. And may their witness be seen by others and observed. And may it be a voice to them to consider their ways. Lord, may they grow in numbers too. We thank thee, Lord, for what thou hast done in recent years in adding to this church. But Lord, we believe that yet there is room. Could it please thee yet to add others whom thou hast visited with thy salvation and touch their lips and constrain them by thy love to speak of Christ and what he has done for them. And then we pray for each member of this congregation and each one visiting this night from other causes of truth. And we pray thy blessing upon each one in whatever stage of life's journey they're at. Remember the elderly, the infirmed, the aged, the lonely, the sad. Sanctify old age and weakness and weariness. Remember those in the midst of life who its burdens, concerns, busy scenes, cares, difficulties and troubles, as well as the prosperities and the encouragements. And then remember those in the dawn of life's journey, at school, at college, at university, those just starting out into life. Do supply their needs. And early in life, may they be taught to know the Lord. May they be made a blessing and blessed in this and in other houses of prayer in a generation to come. And so, Lord, we pray for each one. And we ask, Lord, that thou wouldst add to this people those whom thou hast and whom thou wilt save, and whom thou wilt feed here in this pasture. And grant, Lord, that year of Jubilee here, that year the outpouring of thy blessing, that year of revival, that year when sinners are called by grace, when burdened souls are set at liberty and at loose, and rejoice in the love of Christ, when those who have known thee more, where there is both the beginning of grace and also the growing in grace. Where there is a seeing of Christ for the first time and then having a more clearer view of him. And in that great day of judgment, may not one that is gathered here in thy house this day be left out or left behind when thou dost come to call thy ransomed children home. We pray thy blessing to rest upon the services of thy house here tomorrow. And grant thy help to thy servant who will preach, and to all who will hear, and bless thy word abundantly through him. And bless, we pray, thy servants as they preach thy word today. Bless the various congregations as they meet throughout the world. Pour out, we pray, showers of blessing upon the weary earth. And grant, Lord, that gracious reviving and that renewing of strength this night. And do bless our land and nation. Remember our Queen in these days of her sorrow and bereavement. May she be enabled to cast her care upon thee. And may she and her children prove that thou art indeed a husband to the widow and a father to the fatherless. And may they consider their latter end. And where they'll spend eternity. We pray, Lord, that they might know thy comfort. And especially the Queen in these days. And now, Lord, as we come to thy word this night, we ask thee to stand by and near unto us. And lead us into it. And guide us what we should say. Grant prayer in the pew. Grant power in the pulpit. Speak, Lord. For thy mercy's sake, we ask for Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn number 731. Heal us, Emmanuel. Here we are, waiting to feel thy touch. Deep wounded souls to thee repair, and Saviour, we are such. Hymn 731.
Seeking the Lord's help, we venture tonight to ask your attention to the Gospel recorded by Luke, chapter 17, verse 32. Luke 17, verse 32. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. This is the second shortest verse in the Word of God. Although the word remember is repeated several times in Scripture, there are only two people who are commanded to remember. One is the Lord Jesus in his death. The other is Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. In other words, we are to call to mind who she was, her circumstances in life, and what happened unto her, and to take heed to her warning. The context around our text is the Lord answering a question of the Pharisees. They had demanded of him when the kingdom of God should come. And this is part of the answer. And of course, the Pharisees believed, the Orthodox Jews believed, and even the Lord's disciples believed at this point that the kingdom of God was going to be a political kingdom. And even down to this day, the Orthodox Jews still believe that when the Messiah comes, that he will establish a political kingdom from Jerusalem, and that Israel will be some kind of superpower which will rule the rest of the world. And our Saviour, in the verses surrounding our text, including our text, is saying in reply that that is not a correct understanding or interpretation of what the kingdom of God will be. And of course, he is speaking here of the day of judgment. And our text is linked this evening to the day of judgment. And that is one of the reasons we are told to remember Lot's wife. And after telling the Pharisees and his disciples, and no doubt those others who were listening to what he was saying, that when the Son of Man comes again in his glory and power, that it will be as quick as lightning. You know what it's like when There's a storm and suddenly there's a flash of lightning and then it's gone. Split second. Lord Jesus says that when he comes again, it's going to be like that. No warning. Where will you stand in that day? Because you'll have to stand. We'll stand somewhere. Will it be on Christ, the solid rock? Or will it be in the sinking sands to sink eternally? One or the other. But first, he says, he must suffer many things and be rejected of this generation, prophesying and speaking of his death, which was shortly to be accomplished outside Jerusalem's gates. And then he begins the immediate context surrounding our verse this evening, and he takes his hearers and his inquirers back to Genesis. Back to two events which took place in history. He talks of the days of Noah and he talks about the destruction of Sodom. Both events the Lord Jesus regarded as actual history. They actually happened. And even though secular historians refuse to believe the days of Noah, their unbelief does not wipe out the fact that it actually happened. And first of all, he talks about Noah as it was in the days of Noah. So shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And that means the days just before our Lord returns. They did eat. They drank. They married wives. They were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark. And the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also it was in the days of Lot. They did eat. They drank. They bought. They sold. They planted, they built it. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. Now notice in verse 27 and 28, Jesus does not mention their sins. He could have spoken of their violence and their murder, of their ungodliness and idolatry. And the fact that real, true godliness in Noah's day was confined just to his family, and in Sodom was confined to Lot. But he doesn't. And the reason he did not is if he had mentioned their sins. And of course, the gross immorality, which was the reason why Sodom and Gomorrah were destroyed, But had he mentioned those sins, the Pharisees would have immediately said, he's not talking about us, because we haven't committed those sins. And so he brought it down to everyday life. And this, of course, is something that we all do. And in and of itself, there is nothing wrong. In fact, it is necessary, isn't it, to eat and to drink. God himself has ordained the institution of marriage. Since the days of the Garden of Eden, God has ordained that we should buy and sell, plant and build. It really captures everyday normal living, doesn't it? Which we all do. So what was the lesson? Why is it that the Lord mentioned these things? Because, beloved friends, as he spoke of the best things that could be said of them, God was completely absent from their lives. This was all they were living for. And provided they had those things and they went well, they were satisfied. And of course, this is the way the majority of mankind live, isn't it? But where is God? Where is his honor and glory? Where is the worship of his name? God made us to worship him. And he should be at the center of our lives. And here in verse 27 and 28, he was completely absent from their lives. The lesson the Lord was saying to the disciples and to the Pharisees, that even those who had not necessarily sinned in the way that others had in the days of Noah, they were still destroyed. They were not all murderers, were they? But they were still lost. And likewise, it is probable that in the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah, which were five vast cities, they probably were not all immoral. But they all perished. Because, beloved friends, they were living without God. And they were content to live without God. Remember Lot's wife. And one of the things the Lord would have us remember is this. That if we carry on like that, if our lives are solely made up of verse 27 and 28 of Luke 17, and that's all, and that we are content to live without God and his presence, without knowing the love of Christ, without knowing the communion of the Holy Ghost, then we will be destroyed and cast into hell together with the very worst of those who were perished in the days of Noah and in the days of Lot. Remember Lot's wife. Another lesson the Lord would have us here to learn, that in the days immediately preceding the second coming of our Lord, real religion will be a rare thing. In both occasions, real religion was only found in a single household. That's how bad it had got. In Sodom's case, the Lord said he would have spared it. Had 10 righteous souls been found in that city? Not even 10 could be found. And so, beloved friends, it is it not in our day that real religion does seem to be getting rarer? It's one of the signs of the last days. But what about your religion and what about mine? Is it real? No doubt there are those in Noah's day and possibly in Lot's day too who are not irreligious. They didn't have the faith of God's elect. And it's that that makes a difference. The work of the Holy Spirit within. Remember Lot's wife. Then coming to Lot's wife. Let us remember that she was somebody who had many privileges. She was married to a godly man. And for all his faults that I mentioned, and he had many, yet the Lord Jesus' own testimony of him was that he was just, a just man, just Lot, he calls him. In other words, he was one who was a trophy of grace. One who had real religion. And he made a terrible mistake, as we will notice briefly in a moment. And that mistake cost him very dear. But first of all, Lot's wife had a godly husband, and that was a great privilege for her. But grace cannot be shared, even among the nearest and dearest of us. Then again, for many years, Lot's wife had the company of the godly. When Abraham was called out from the Ur of Chaldees, he took Lot and his wife and family with him. And for many years, Lot's wife lived right alongside Abraham and Sarah. She observed how the father of the faithful lived. She no doubt was well aware of his godliness, and she was well aware of the place and the importance that God had in his life. And she may well have been an eyewitness to some of the events that are recorded in God's word that happened to Abraham. And yet, she was a lost soul. She even had a privilege, which as far as I'm aware, none of us could say we've had, of entertaining two angels. In our home. Her last night on earth was spent in the company of two beings, two angels, those beings created by God to serve Him, and who stand around the throne of God in heaven. And also, we are told they are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to the elect. And the ministry of angels is largely concealed from us. Only in heaven will it be revealed to us, that ministration. And we read this evening some of the most solemn words in Scripture from those angels. They said to Lot, that God has sent us to destroy this city because of its wickedness, because he's heard their wicked cry. Solemn thing. When God's sword is unsheathed and used. But those angels had also been sent in mercy to deliver Lot from that destruction. So Lot's wife was favored to have them in her home. She spent her last night on earth in some of the best of companies, in holy company. And then not only that, did they not only speak to her, and did they not only face to face warn her of what was about to happen? They even took her by the hand. I think I'm right in saying it's the only case in the scripture that we read of angels taking someone by the hand. They took Lot and his wife and his daughters by the hand, and they more or less pulled them out of Sodom because they were lingering, they were delaying. They weren't obeying as quick as they should have done. And God would not destroy Sodom while they were in there. And yet, with all those privileges, and with all those favours, if she began the day in the company of angels, she ended it in hell. Remember Lot's wife. And the Lord is saying there, remember, she had so many privileges. Far more in some ways than what we have. But without grace, it did not save her soul. Beloved friends, we have many privileges that many do not have. Many of us have been privileged to be brought up in a godly home. We've been privileged to come to the house of God from our earliest days. We've heard the word of God mentioned. We've heard the Lord's people pray. We've heard the gospel preached that Christ is a friend of sinners, that he receives sinners, that he saves the chiefest of sinners. There are many in our country who have not that privilege. What have all your privileges done for your soul? Has there been any gracious effect? Yet one thing thou lackest. And if you lack that one thing, you lack the vital thing. With all her privileges, Lot's wife lacked grace. She lacked living faith. She lacked the work of the Holy Spirit within. And in looking back from behind Lot, when she had been told not to, she showed that her heart was still in Sodom. She looked back towards her house, remembering what she had left in her house of her possessions, remembering that she'd left some of her family in that house. She looked back reluctantly. In her heart of hearts, she was really reluctant to leave Sodom. And she perished with them. She never really did leave them. She was a party in their sin, and she is a party in their eternal destruction. Remember Lot's wife. It may well be, given the fact that she was behind Lot, when she looked back, she thought it wouldn't matter because Lot wouldn't see her. She had either forgotten that God could see her, or she didn't really care. She looked back. And immediately, she stood before the judgment seat of an angry God. Unexpectedly. Be sure your sin will find you out. If it doesn't find you out in time, it will find you out in this judgment day. But you might say to me, but why was such a harsh punishment given when all she did was look back? She didn't murder anyone. She was a dutiful wife. She was an upright person. She didn't harm anyone. She just looked back. Because God had told her not to look back. Remember Lot's wife. And here is another lesson the Lord would have us to remember. That there is no such thing as a little sin. And that there is no such thing as a sin that we can commit that does not matter. All sin matters. And this teaches us that if we commit even what we consider to be the least of sins, by committing that sin, we are worthy of eternal punishment. It tells us something of the heinous nature of all sin. Not just sins which we may class as great sins, but also those sins which we are so used to doing that we think so little of them. God doesn't. God never thinks lightly of any sin. And even what you class as a little sin will be punished. And it won't seem such a little sin when God calls you to account. Either your so-called little sins were punished in the person of his beloved Son, Jesus Christ, on Calvary, and formed part of that great sorrow that he bore. Or you'll have to bear them. And there won't be so little in eternity. Remember Lot's wife. All sin is a rebellion against God. Whenever we sin, we are in effect saying that God has no right to rule over us. It is in effect an act of war. And God notices it. This is why you and I need to know the pardoning love and mercy of God. This is why you and I so need the grace of the Holy Spirit to be kept from falling. It's vital. It's important. Because God requires us to do justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with him. And that means we should seek as far as we can to keep and obey his law. For love's sake. Love to him and love to that law he has given. Remember Lot's wife. She was suddenly called into eternity. She didn't expect it. Here is another reason why the Lord says, remember. Because you might suddenly be called one day. With many, the time is drawn out, isn't it? And it is obvious that death is not far away. Whether it be old age, whether it be an illness, whether it be in a time of war, for those who have to fight in it. Sometimes the warning's very short. And sometimes, as in the case of our text, there's no warning whatsoever. And really the Lord is saying here, be ready. If tonight, while I am speaking, you were suddenly called into eternity. Would you welcome it? Would you be ready? What would you base your hope for receiving a favorable reception and then a welcome into heaven? Would you have one? Remember Lot's wife. Some of you here could welcome it. Because you have got a good hope through grace. And you can tell of what Christ has done for you. Some of you are trusting, but you as yet don't have that full assurance. But some of you are total strangers. And it's not for me to say who. And therefore you are in danger. Of God's almighty wrath. Remember Lot's wife. Remember her privileges. And yet remember what she lacked. Remember her end. And remember where she is now for many, many years. 4,000, maybe more. She's been in a lost eternity. And beloved friends, it does not matter what our lot may be on earth. It does not matter how successful we may become in our business or in our home. We will be in eternity far longer than we are here. And all the most important things of this time state will seem totally irrelevant when we are in eternity. But there will be one thing that will be relevant. Did Jesus live and die for us? Did we know him? Were we brought to trust in him? To rest in him, to flee to him? To his precious blood and righteousness. That's the message of our text. Remember Lot's wife. And then, of course, the other message here is that let's take a lesson from Lot. He made one wrong choice. And he lost almost everything because of it. Because his herdsmen and Abraham's herdsmen were quarreling and arguing, Abraham and Lot decided that they would have to part company. Because they'd both got so successful that there wasn't enough grazing pasture for all their animals. And the herdsmen were fighting over what was the best grass to eat. And so to end the continual strife, they decided to separate. And Abraham gave Lot first choice. And Lot looked. And he saw the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. And in those days, before it was destroyed, we are told it was like the Garden of Eden. Very fruitful, very luxurious, the very best of pasture. There were rivers, there were lakes, there were fruitful fields, there were orchards. Very different if you go there now. Even now, if you go there, nothing grows in that area. And Lot looked at that scene and he thought, this is perfect. Here I can retire and grow old. Here I can expand. I'm bound to with such superior grazing. And so he pitched his tent towards Sodom and he didn't even go into it. He thought he'd be all right. It wasn't very long before he was inside Sodom, though, was it? But the one thing he did not do, as he pitched his tent, he did not pray about it first. And had he done so, the Lord would have told him not to pitch there because of the ungodliness of that area. And it was already marked out for destruction. And So by actually going there, instead of preserving and increasing his cattle, he lost all of them. We read, he lost everything, other than what was on his back and his two daughters. He lost his possessions, he lost his home, he lost a vast amount of animals that he had, he lost his herdsmen, he even lost his own wife. One wrong choice. Affected in a devastating way the rest of his life. What is the lesson from Lot's life? Beloved friend, before you venture in an important decision in life, whether it is where you're going to work, change your career perhaps, whether it is moving home, whether it is where you should worship, whether it is seeking someone to marry, pray first. Ask the Lord to guide you. And he will. How can we expect God's blessing in any path if we've not first asked his guidance in it? Remember Lot's wife. We are to remember that it is appointed unto men once to die, and after death the judgment. We are to remember that we are not here forever. We are to remember that there is a day appointed for us to die, that there is a day of judgment coming when the Lord will return. To bring to an end time, to bring to an end all the eating, the drinking, the marrying, the buying, the selling, the planting, the building. If that's all we have, what will we have left when all that's ended, when all that's destroyed? As George Rose, who was pastor at Tamworth Road, Croydon, in the Second World War, once said, when a believer dies, he goes home. When an unbeliever dies, he leaves home. And which would it be with you and me? We were called to die tonight. Would we go home? Or would we leave home? Where's your treasure? Where is what you most love? Where is what you worship? Because we all worship something. If it is your home, if it is your family, if it is your business, if that makes up all your life, where will you be when it ends and when you're called from it? But if Christ is your life, if Christ is your treasure, if he is the center of your affections, and you have a hope and a good one, that it will be for you to go home, and it will be well when you go home. But if we are strangers to Christ, then we will be strangers to his home, which is heaven. And an unbeliever would not be happy in heaven. Why? Because all his pleasures and all his treasures will be left out of heaven. Only holy things are in heaven. And how can an unbeliever who has lived his life shunning holy things and hating holy things be happy in such a place? They couldn't. In order to get to heaven, friends, we need to have a heart prepared for heaven. We need to have a nature fit for heaven, and that is the work of the Holy Ghost, which begins in the day of the new birth and continues to the day of death when grace is finished and crowned with glory. And so as I come to my conclusion tonight, I ask you, where is your hope? Where is your treasure? For heaven. Is it on Christ? If it is, it is well. If it is not, it is far, far, far from well. And when the Lord said, "Remember Lot's wife," he was warning us that time is short. That the day of judgment is near, that eternity is certain, and that it is long. And the most vital thing is to be ready and prepared for it. Because it is too awful to contemplate not being prepared for it. And at that state you and I are found at the moment of death and on that day of judgment, if it comes before, that will be an irreversible state. May we be brought to what the hymn writer said, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." That is where to build your hope, by grace, by faith, by the Spirit's aid. That is where to rest in. That is where to shelter in. You see, the Lord here speaks of the days of Noah, doesn't he? There was one shelter prepared and revealed. And there was one door into that ark. And those who entered that door were safe. And it was shut. The water never touched them. Not one drop of rain ever fell upon them. But for those outside, no doubt some of them tried to find shelter elsewhere. And even though it may have afforded them shelter in other times, it proved no good then. So, friends, Jesus Christ, of whom that ark typifies, is the shelter in his life and in his death that he has lived and accomplished. That's the place of safety. And there alone. I close tonight with an illustration. Nearly 100 years ago, my late grandfather was sitting in the Sunday school in Garstang. And a minister who was called upon to take the Sunday school told him of a dream he'd had that week. He had been walking down the high street of wherever it was he lived. And he said, suddenly in his dream, the trumpet sounded. The heavens departed as a scroll. And all the buildings, he said, began to fall down. And he said there was a great commotion and fear. People were running hither and thither, crying in fear around him. He said, I had perfect peace. He said, children, on the day of judgment, you're going to need the peace I felt in my dream. And that was the beginning of the work of grace in his life. He never forgot it. Beloved friends, we too need that peace. Perfect peace. That peace comes through the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And once given, it's never taken. And it will prove to be stronger than death and judgment itself. There's safety in Christ. Those who are favored to be in him are safe forever. May we be found among them. Remember Lot's wife.
God willing, Mr. Adrian Pickett will preach to us tomorrow at our anniversary services at 3 o'clock and 6:15 with collections for the Chapel Needy Cases Fund. And next Lord's Day, Mr. Stephen Hyde is expected to preach at 10:30 and 6:30 and will administer the Lord's Supper after the morning service. And he also hopes to address the Sunday school in the afternoon. God willing, there'll be a church meeting on Monday, the 10th of May. Let us close with hymn 772. Christ is the keeper of his saints. He guards them by his power, subdues their numerous complaints in every gloomy hour. 772.
do in tender kindness and compassion. Most gracious God, pardon and forgive all that thou hast seen wrong in our worship of thy name here this day. Bless thy word unto us. Teach us, Lord, to heed its warnings and exhortations, as well as its encouragements and comforts. And grant, Lord, that none of us may be like Lot's wife at last, but may we be blessed with living faith in a living Saviour. And may we prove that that one thing needful, dearest Lord, is to be one with thee. Do dismiss us now with thy blessing. Take us under thy safe care and keeping. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of God the Holy Ghost rest, rule, abide, and remain with us now and forever. Amen.